The Origin of the Matrix. Mainstream scientists believe that our universe began between 15 and 20 billion years ago, with a massive explosion unlike anything that had ever existed before or has since. Although there are conflicting theories about the precise timing and whether there was a single explosion or multiple explosions, there appears to be a general agreement that our universe began with a massive release of energy a long time ago. In 1951, astronomer Fred Hoyle coined a term for that unfathomable explosion that's still used today. He named it the Big Bang. Researchers have calculated that just fractions of a second before the Big Bang occurred, our entire universe was much, much smaller than it is today. Computer models suggest that it was so small, in fact, that it was tightly compressed into a single tiny ball of energy. And with all of the empty space removed from what we see as the universe today, that ball is believed to have been about the size of a single green pea. While it may have been very tiny, however, it certainly wasn't cool. The model suggests that the temperature within that tightly compressed space was an unimaginable 18 billion million 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 degrees Fahrenheit, many times hotter than the present temperature of the sun today. I've asked the researchers how they know this, and they reply by saying, okay, we don't know for sure. It was 18 billion million 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 degrees, but we know it was hot. It was really hot. So we have hot temperatures within a fraction of a second following the Big Bang. The simulations show the temperatures may have cooled shortly thereafter to only a balmy 18 billion degrees or so, and that the birth of our new universe by that time was well underway. The key here is this. Is the Big Bang's explosive force ripped into the emptiness of what was believed to be the void? It carried more than just the heat and the light that we would expect, because it also carried energy. It carried a pattern of energy that became the blueprint for all that is now and all that can ever be. And it's this pattern that's the subject of the ancient myth, the timeless lore, and the mystical wisdom. With names that range from the Buddhist sutra's net of Indra to the Hopi tradition's web of spider grandmother, the echo of that pattern remains with us today. And it's this net or web of energy that continues to expand throughout the cosmos is the quantum essence of all things, including us and our world. This is the energy that connects our lives as the divine matrix. It's this essence as well that acts as a mini-dimensional mirror, reflecting back to us as our world what we create in our emotions and our beliefs. But one of the first questions that comes to mind when we think about the universe beginning as an explosion is, how can we be so sure that everything in the universe is really connected? Wouldn't the destructive power of the blast destroy everything in its wake? Well, to answer this question, let's go back to the Big Bang and the University of Geneva experiment in the previous section. As different as they appear from one another, there's a subtle similarity. In each case, the connection that's being explored exists between two things that were once physically joined. In the case of the photons, splitting a single particle into two identical particles created the twins. In the case of the universe, the tiny ball of energy that expanded into the many particles of today is the analogy of that experiment. Well, this was done to assure that each one was alike in every way in the case of the experiment. The fact that the photons and the particles from the Big Bang were once physically part of one another is the key to everything. It's the key to their connectivity. Because it appears that once something is joined, it's always connected, whether it remains physically linked or not. And it's this pivotal discovery that becomes our fourth key to understanding the divine matrix. That key is simply this: once something is joined, it's always connected, whether or not it remains physically linked. This is key in our discussion for one really important and often overlooked reason. As huge as our universe looks to us today, at one time, all the matter in the universe was compressed into a very small space. In that unimaginable state of compression, everything was physically joined. And as the energy of the Big Bang caused our universe to expand, the particles became separated by greater and greater amounts of space. Regardless of how much space separates two things once joined, however, the experiments suggest that they are always connected. There's every reason to believe that the entangled state that connects particles separated today also connects the stuff of our universe that was connected before the Big Bang. Technically, everything that was joined as our pea-sized universe 15 to 20 billion years ago is still connected. And the energy that does the connecting is what Max Planck described as the matrix of everything. Today, modern science has refined our understanding of Planck's matrix, describing it as a form of energy that is everywhere, always present, and one that has existed since the time of the Big Bang. The existence of this field implies three principles that have a direct effect upon the way we live, all that we do, what we believe, and even how we feel about each day of our lives. Admittedly, these principles directly contradict many of the well-established beliefs of both science and spirituality on the one hand. At the same time, however, it is precisely these principles that open the door to an empowering and life-affirming way of seeing our world and our lives. The first principle suggests that because everything exists within the divine matrix, everything is connected. And if things are connected, then what we do in one part of our lives must have an effect and influence other parts of our lives. The second principle suggests the divine matrix is holographic, meaning that any portion of the field contains everything else in the field. As consciousness itself is believed to be holographic, this means that the prayer we create in our living room, for example, for our loved ones halfway around the world, already exists with our loved ones or where it was intended. There's no need to send our prayers anywhere because they already exist everywhere. That is the holographic principle. The third principle suggests that the past, present, and future are intimately joined. The matrix appears to be the container that holds time, providing for a continuity between the choices of our present and the experiences of our future. So regardless of what we call it or how science and religion define it, it's clear there's something out there. There's a force, it's a field, it's a presence that is the great net that links us with one another, our world, and very probably a greater presence. If we can truly grasp what these three principles tell us about our relationship to one another, then the events of our lives take on an entirely new meaning. We become participants rather than victims of forces that we can't see and don't understand. To be in such a place is where our empowerment really begins.